It is the evening of the 1290th day of the Great Tribulation. The Battle of Armageddon is over. Babylon has been destroyed, as well as Nineveh and Edom. Those living in the stars have been pulled down, and those living at the bottom of the ocean and the sea have been stung by a sea creature for punishment. All those with the mark of the beast, the 666, who gathered in the Valley of Armageddon have rotted where they stand. The birds are now helping with the cleanup of all the dead that day. The whole event started sometime after the clouds began to roll in at high noon, and by 6 p.m. the wrath of God was complete and the light of the sun is shining once again just before setting in the west in its perpetual cycle. In most cases, as the sun would be retreating to the west, darkness would begin to cover Israel, but not on this day. The light of the Lord illumines the land as the whole world begins preparation for the kingdom. Daniel gives a clue as to the length of time it takes to prepare the world for the kingdom of our Lord. Armageddon occurs on the 1290th day of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. The blessing of the kingdom begins on the 1335th day. The 45-day interlude is used to prepare the kingdom and clean up all the mess left from the battle. Many things need to be done, but the main item on the agenda is the building of the Lord's temple there where Jerusalem was and setting up the great white throne. When the Lord touched his foot down on the top of the Mount of Olives, the exact place that he ascended from in AD 30, the great earthquake occurred and prepared the new high mountain with a plateau for the temple district. Now the measuring line stretches over this area and the construction of the temple begins immediately. The Lord allowed Ezekiel to see this temple in a vision back in April of 581 BC. And an angel measured every single part of that temple with a stick that was 10.5 feet long. And he told Ezekiel to record every single detail of each part of the structure. The entire complex has a wall around it, 10.5 feet high and 10.5 feet thick. Three gates allow entry to the site. On the east side, one on the north, and one on the south. Each of the gates has 7 steps leading up to the entryway. Now just inside each gate, there are 6 guardrooms, 3 on each side. The gates include a porch area with pillars, walls, and windows, and the windows have shutters on them. And the walls and the windows are carved with palm trees from top to bottom. There's an outer court that surrounds 3 sides of the complex, and it's 175 feet wide all around. Porches are all around this outer court with columns too. The columns are carved with palm trees. The porches have 8 steps up to each porch. The chamber is there with a doorway where all the burnt offerings are rinsed. And on its porch, there are 8 tables used to slaughter the burnt, sin, and guilt offerings. Double hooks are installed to hang the flesh of the slaughtered offerings. 2 chambers are there for the singers on the north and on the south. The south is for the priests who keep charge of the temple, and the north is for the sons of Zadok who keep charge of the altar. And the entire court where the altar is 175 feet square. From the inner court, a porch leads up to the temple surrounded by columns. A stairway leads up into the temple. The first room in the temple is called the nave. Next is the most holy place. Now the temple is 3 stories high, and the walls around the temple actually contain chambers. Each level contains 30 rooms, and there are 90 rooms total. The temple is 175 feet long. All the walls are carved with cherubs and palm trees. A palm tree is between each cherub, and each cherub has 2 faces, a man's face and a young lion's face. One side, the man's face faces a palm tree, and on the other side, the lion's face faces a palm tree all the way around the walls. The altar is there. It's made of wood, and it is the table that is set before the Lord in the Holy of Holies. In the outer court, to the north and to the south, there are chambers 3 stories high. Now both of these chambers are for dining areas for the priest to eat that which has been offered to the Lord of grain and sin and guilt offerings. And on the 1335th day, the Lord enters the complex through the eastern gate when it is completed. His voice is like the sound of many running waters, and His glory shines throughout the temple. In that most holy place, the Lord sits on His great white throne, where He dwells among the sons of Israel and the sons of all the rest of the world forever. The entire mount all around is holy, and the law of that house rules the entire world. The altar for the burnt offerings sits on a 7-foot-high base, and then it rises up another 7 feet to the top of the four horns. It is 24.5 feet square. Before the altar is ready for use, it must be cleansed with blood. On the first day, a young bull is offered for the sin offering, and its blood is rubbed on each of the four horns to cleanse the altar and make atonement. Then on the second day, it is to be a young goat that is slaughtered, and its blood is rubbed on the four horns. But also, another young bull and a ram is offered too, that is without blemish, and they are sacrificed, and the priests then throw salt on them as they are burned. For 7 more days, a goat is to be offered as a sin offering, as well as another young bull and another ram. Then on the 8th day, the altar is ready to receive the offerings of the people. Now the eastern gate is shut because the Lord entered that gate, and He is the only one who enters that gate. But the Lord's prince is allowed to sit in that gate and to eat His bread. But no foreigners, no uncircumcised in heart and flesh will ever enter into the temple or come near that gate. Even though the Levites of the past brought idols into the sanctuary of the Lord, that will not happen with this temple. The Levites now will be very faithful. The Levite descendants from the line of Zadok will minister to the temple, and they will wear linen garments with no wool in them. They will wear linen turbans on their heads and linen undergarments also. And they will not wear anything that makes them sweat, but they also will not wear these garments outside of the temple. They will not marry any widow or divorced woman except if the widow is a widow of another priest. And they will not shave their heads, and they will not let the locks of their hair grow too long either. They will not drink wine when they are serving in the court, and their job is to teach the people about the holy things of God. They are to judge the people according to the ordinances of the Lord. They are to lead the people to keep the appointed feasts and the Sabbaths. They are never to touch a dead person unless it is a family member, and then they must cleanse themselves for 7 days and present a sin offering for themselves. They are not to have an inheritance in the land because the Lord is their inheritance. The first fruit offerings of all the people will be their pay. The Lord's portion of the land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. In the center of that portion, the temple complex will sit on an 875-foot square section. The entire section is called the most holy portion. To the north is another section 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, and it is for the Levites and their families to live on. To the south is a section 8 1/3 miles long and 1 2/3 miles wide. The middle part of that section is for the survivors that lived in Jerusalem, although it really belongs to the whole house of Israel. Another 2 portions of the land is carved out for the Lord's prince to live. He is the resurrected David, the father of Solomon. Ezekiel 37:25 says to us, "And they shall live on the land that I gave to Jacob my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever, and David my servant shall be their prince forever." The people are to celebrate special days with special offerings on the new moons and on the Sabbaths, at all the appointed feasts of the house of Israel, with sin offerings, with grain offerings, burnt offerings, and with peace offerings, to make atonement for the house of Israel. The eastward inner gate is shut the entire 6 days of the working week, but it is open on the Sabbath day and the new moon day. The prince will come on those days, and he will enter by that gate and make his burnt offering and his peace offering. The gate will shut at evening. His offering will be 6 unblemished lambs and an unblemished ram, as well as a grain offering and a henna of oil. In each of the 4 corners of the complex is a room where the priest boils the guilt offerings and the sin offerings, and they bake the grain offerings into bread. A river flows from the back of the house of the Lord out towards the east on the south side of the altar. It starts as a trickle and runs out 1,750 feet where the water is ankle deep. Another 1,750 feet, the water is knee-deep. Another 1,750 feet, the water is deep enough to swim in without touching the bottom. The river runs out down through the Arabah and to the Dead Sea, making it fresh water. The river is full of fish and creatures, and everything lives where the river flows. Fishermen stand and fish from Engedi down to Iglam. But all the swamps and the marshes in the area are left because of the salt. The trees on the banks of that river bear fruit every month for food, and the leaves can be eaten for healing. The Lord shows Ezekiel the outer boundaries of Israel's land that they will live on from the north to the south and east to the west. Moving from the north south, the land is given to the tribes of Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, and Judah. Below Judah's land, the Lord's allotment, where the temple sits, is placed. Above the Lord's allotment is that place for the priest and the Levites and the survivors who lived in Jerusalem. Then the two portions are set aside for David and the prince. And under that, continuing south, the land is given to Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, and Gad. The city's measurement is 1.5 miles square. It has three gates on each side. The north gates are named Reuben, Judah, and Levi. The east gates are named Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. The south gates are named Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. The west gates are named Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. And the new name on the city is The Lord is There. The Lord's temple is there. It is now the Lord's home as He dwells among mankind. Who else is there in the city? Well, the Old Testament saints are there, including Moses, David, Daniel, as well as Jeremiah, Samuel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Jonathan, Joshua, Amos, Obadiah, just to name a few. The New Testament saints are there, including Peter and Paul and the rest of the apostles and the disciples throughout all the church ages. Both the old and the new are robed in their white robes in their transformed spiritual bodies. The tribulation saints are there too, in their transformed spiritual bodies. The 144 Israelites who were sealed by the Lord are there in their earthly bodies. And the 1/3 of the nation of Israel that survived the day of Armageddon are there in their earthly bodies. The Gentiles from all the nations that did not take the mark of the beast and did not join Satan at Armageddon are there in their earthly bodies. The world is at peace in the kingdom. Wars do not exist in the world. Hostility is vanquished. Isaiah gives a tremendous mental picture of life in the thousand-year kingdom when he says, "The wolf will lie down with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And the nursing child will play in the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not be hurt or destroyed in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water that covers the sea. There will be blessings too. The pastures of the wilderness will be green. The trees will bear fruit as well as the fig trees and the vine. The early and the latter rains will come for the vindication of all. The threshing floor will be full of grain. The vats will overflow with the new wine and also overflow with oil. The Lord will make up all that was eaten by the locusts. You shall have plenty to eat and be satisfied. The Jews will never be put to shame. You will know that the Lord is in the midst of Israel, and you will know that the Lord is your God and there is no other. Every family of the earth must go up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord at least once a year, or they will not be blessed by Him. Every family of every nation must celebrate the Feast of Booths. The bells on every horse will be inscribed with the words, "Holy to the Lord." Every cooking pot in the Lord's house will be like the bowls before the altar, and every cooking pot in Jerusalem and in Judea will be holy to the Lord. But most of all, no Canaanites are in the house of the Lord of hosts in that day. Back in 1445 BC, the Lord instructed Joshua to completely destroy the Canaanites, but he failed in the task. All the Canaanites who refused to worship the Lord were destroyed at Armageddon, so there are none in the thousand-year kingdom. Life goes on for humans in earthly bodies in the thousand-year kingdom. Most of the people will live an entire 1,000 years or more. The only ones who die are those who have committed a grievous sin against the Lord. Marriages take place. Babies are born. Generation after generation is born on the earth without the knowledge of the past, knowing only the utopia of the peaceful kingdom of the Lord. Now, when the 1,000 years are completed, a series of events take place that change the whole nature and structure of the world. First, the door is opened in the abyss and Satan is released from the chains, and he is once again allowed to deceive the nations, but only for a short period of time. He is even allowed to deceive the people that he fought against in the middle of the tribulation, Gog's people who live up in Magog. And these are the ones who did not take the mark of the beast and follow him. Second, Satan gathers all the new deceivers, the people from all over the kingdom of the Lord, and they are numerous as the sands of the seashore. He gathers them in an army outside of Jerusalem to fight against the Lord, who is reigning on his great white throne. Third, fire comes down from heaven when the Lord calls for it and devours the deceived people on the plain outside of Jerusalem. Satan is grabbed and he is thrown into the lake of fire. He is no longer needed in God's plan. His purpose all along was to lead astray all the people of the world who would not believe in the Lord over the past 8,000 years. So they will have no excuse when they stand before the great white throne, and only their record of their deed is all they can present to the Lord. All of them will be sent to the lake of fire and eternal judgment out of the presence of the Lord. Fourth, the Lord resurrects all the evil people from torment to stand before him at his great white throne judgment. None of their names are in the book of life, and they will all be sent to the lake of fire to be tormented forever. All the saints of all the ages, including you and I, will be standing behind the Lord in the choir loft as we watch that judgment seat occur. Fifth, immediately after the great white throne judgment, before another sin can ever occur on the earth, the Lord transforms everything into sinless perfection. Never again will sin enter the earth. Never again will man be able to be deceived by Satan. All are transformed into glorified bodies, and no sea ever separates any of the nations ever again. Sixth, the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven. This new city is the tabernacle of God the Father, who now dwells among men. It is the place that God the Father has been throughout all eternity, and now it is on earth. All things are new. It is done. The holy city has 12 gates, four on each side, each with a gate made from a single pearl. It has 12 foundations, each with the name of an apostle on it. Each layer of the foundation is of a different precious stone. That city measures 1,500 miles square and tall and has walls on the beginning layer 216 feet high. A river runs right up to the throne of God, and there are trees on each side of the river that bear 12 kinds of fruit each month. The leaves can be eaten for the healing of the nations, and you can fish in that river and eat manna, as well as the fruit from that beautiful tree of life that was placed in the Garden Eden at the beginning of time for man. People will go and come from this city without fear, because there is no evil in the universe. Finally, one prophecy is left to be fulfilled, and Jesus will not leave one thing undone. At that moment, Jesus, lovingly, humbly, loyally, and graciously, gathers up everything that belongs to him, that has been given to him by the Father, and he returns it to God the Father, laying it at his feet. An eternity future begins. It is the story of our story, and it will end with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, where it all began 8,000 years before. From that point in time, we will spend all the rest of eternity worshiping God.